John chapter number 14. We'll look at some things from the Word of God today, beginning in verse 13. The Lord will help us and bless us and show up and do something for us. Amen.
Amen.
And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now I want to preface this message by saying, we are looking at a transition period before the cross. We are looking at a transition period where he's dealing with people, and he says some things that are interesting about the Spirit coming and dwelling in them. This is future tense. He's saying that Spirit will dwell in you. And that's where we're at today. You trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Spirit dwells in you. But we can glean some things in this transition period because the principles are true. And they are applicable to the church age. We're not waiting around to get the Holy Spirit in us. When you get saved, you get the Spirit of God. Amen. And you spend the rest of your life trying to give you to Him. He's already in you. Amen.
Amen.
And He spends the rest of your life trying to get you from you. Amen. And get you into Him, into His Word, and get you more spiritual and to fill us. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. He's telling Him, He said, my Father's going to send a Comforter. And then He says, I will come to you because He is the Comforter. He is the Father. He is the Comforter. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God. He is our salvation. He's the propitiation. He is God. He's the great physician, Jesus Christ. All those things are true about Jesus Christ because He is God. It boggles my mind still today how some folks don't believe that, because you have to throw most of your New Testament away to not see Jesus Christ as God. But then again, they don't know much of the New Testament. Jesus Christ is God. Thank God for that, because if He wasn't, He couldn't have paid our sin debt. But I want to look at a few things today by the grace of God. And the first thing is the promise of God. He says in verse 13 of chapter 14, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Here's where we need to get some things lined out. And we need to understand, we need to get some understanding here. That name it and claim it thing, whatever you say, if you believe enough, God's going to do it. That's not true. That's not true. Asking in God's name and receiving is always hooked to what it talks about in verse 13. And look at that again. It says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." When you're asking things in the name of Jesus Christ that will glorify the Father, that will glorify God, He will answer those prayers. Amen? I'm telling you, they're making a lot of money, and they're getting a lot of control over people by telling them, you want a Clydesdale in your driveway in the morning, you want a Maserati, whatever you want, you name it and claim it, and God's your magic genie, and if you just name it in Jesus' name, He has to do it. And that's not true. That's not true. You can ask something in Jesus' name out of God's will. But he's talking about asking from God and receiving from God is always connected to glorifying God in this Bible. Everything God does is always connected to bringing Him honor and glory. Amen? Everything that God wants you to have, He wants you to have it so you can use it to His honor and His glory. Amen? You say, "Well, I don't know about that. He wanted me to have a lawnmower, and He gave me a lawnmower." Yeah, and He wants you to tell people that He gave it to you. Amen? For your honor? No, for His. For His. Oh, look at me. I just control God. He does what I tell Him to do. That's what some of these jokers act like. Amen? But the truth is, it's all about glorifying Him. If you want to glorify Him, He will dump those blessings out that will bring Him honor and bring Him glory. The promise of God, boy, we've got some promises, amen? I thank God for His promises. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I took advantage of that promise, amen, praise God. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption." He just told me I'm sealed. He saved me, I'm sealed. I thank God for those promises, amen. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I thank God for that promise, amen. We're looking for the blessed hope. He said he's going to come back one day. We're going to meet Him in the air, and we're going to be out of here. Amen. I thank God for that promise. We have some promises from God. All of those promises are connected to glorifying Him. All the promises He gave Israel are connected to glorifying Him. The only reason He didn't smoke Israel when He wanted to is because Moses said, "Well, wait a minute, Lord, wouldn't it bring you more honor and glory?" And God said, "I will get the glory by not destroying these people." He went to Calvary to save our soul for His glory. Amen. We got a bunch of people running around and act like He just done it because we're so irresistible and we just deserved it. And the truth is, He done it for His honor and His glory. And if you're saved, you're blood-bought, born again, you got the right book, you got the Spirit of God living in you, you ought to be glorifying Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to be bragging on His promises. You got to be thanking Him for His promises. Amen. You ought to be telling other people about His promises. Hey, look, you might be lost and going on your way to hell right now, but I'm going to tell you something. God has given you some promises. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." All you've got to do is believe Jesus Christ died for your sins. You know you're a sinner. You believe He died for your sins. You believe He rose again. You call on Him like that book says in Romans 10:13, and you're going to heaven. That's a promise. Amen. Praise God. That's for His glory. Well, if you come to our church, you put money in the pan at our church. You pray with our preacher. If our preacher puts you in his water. No, that's not about God. That's about glorying in man and glorying in the flesh. I tell them all the time, you don't have to come to our church. You don't have to go to church one day in your life. You have to go to Jesus Christ. And when you go to Jesus Christ and He moves into you, you're going to want to go to church. Amen. Praise God. You're going to want to be around people that love God. You're going to want to separate from the wickedness of this world. You're going to want to cling on to them promises and hang on to them promises and thank God for them promises and keep bragging on them promises, because He has given us some promises. And then we see the provision of God. Look at 17 through 21, chapter 14. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. There's that transition. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus Christ himself is the comforter. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. But today, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. We've seen the promises of God. There's some more promises right there, but I want to look at the provisions of God. What did he provide in these verses? Look at verse 17 again. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world could not receive, he provides truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Jesus Christ said in John 17:17, through his word, sanctify him through thy truth, thy word is truth. He's given you truth, the light of Jesus Christ shining in your heart. You got saved, the truth moved into you, and he's given you a Bible that is truth. He provides truth. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. He provides comfort. I'm glad he provides comfort, amen? The world's not very comforting. It's a little discomforting at times, amen? But he provides comfort, truth, and comfort. Look at verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. He provides truth, he provides comfort. And here in verse 19, he provides life, and he provides hope. Look what he says again at the end of that verse. Because I live, ye shall live also. I have people all the time say, well, you believe that once saved, always saved stuff. I absolutely. If I didn't believe it, I'd probably stay home. Amen? Because I'd mess everything up anyway. What's the point? I not only believe it, I got a book that tells about it. Amen? I got a Holy Spirit that confirms it. Amen? I don't just have a temporary salvation. I've got a permanent Savior. Amen? And I've got a hope that one day he's going to call me out of here and I'm going to spend eternity with him. One of these days I'm going to be right. Amen? One of these days I'm going to lay this flesh down and I'll be with Jesus Christ to live forever in eternity, and I don't have to die forever in hell because he paid my price. He gives truth. He gives comfort. He gives life. He gives hope. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He gives love. Now look, the reason the world's all messed up and the reason the world's all perverted, because they have no idea what love is. It comes from God. It doesn't come from your grade school teacher. It doesn't come from the encyclopedia. It doesn't come from any book in the world other than this book. It comes from God. God's the one that teaches you how to love. He shows you love. We love him because he first loved us. We learn how to love by realizing what love is by looking at Calvary. Love is sacrificial. Love is charitable. Love is somebody giving something without any expectation in return. We learn how to love by learning the love of Jesus Christ. He gives love. He defines love. How does he define love? He defined it like this on Calvary. By spilling all his blood on Calvary so you and I could have eternal life. Knowing that we couldn't pay him back. That's love. Last part of that verse, verse 21. And will manifest myself to him. He provides light. He provides light. In a world full of darkness, we have light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. So right now, Jesus Christ isn't walking the face of this earth and to be physically seen, but he lives in you. He lives in me. We have the light of Christ in us, and we have a book that is light. We can open this book and see the light of Christ. And this book bears witness with the inner man, that new man. We have some gifts from God. He has promised us some things. He has provided us some things. The promise of God, the provision of God. Look at verse 16. Back in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. We have the presence of God. The presence of God. I remember when I was lost, I remember being in situations where I was afraid and had no presence of God. I had no hope, had no help, had no stability, no security, no light. But we have His presence. He dwells in you. He dwells in us. The promise of God, the provision of God, the presence of God. In verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace of God, the peace of God, not as the world giveth, but true peace. True peace. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, it's all about trusting God. Look at 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's the peace of God. How do you get the peace of God? By remembering the promises of God, by trusting in the promises, by trusting in the provision, by living in His presence, by walking with Him and having peace in it, by calling on Him. It says, "With everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known unto God." Amen. Where are you turning for your answers? I'm going to tell you this. We're going to ride this horse for just a little while because this thing's going to get crazier, I believe. You know, we've got missionary letters, people that are still shut down, that can't get into their own countries. They can't get into places to preach the Word of God because of COVID-19. Let's put this into perspective. Amen? We're talking about disease that kills some folks. But well over 90% of the people get it survive. They're shutting the entire planet down. You got a bunch of people that don't have the peace of God, that don't have an understanding of God, that don't have God, that are running things, and they're shutting the entire planet down for a disease that kills less than 10% of who gets it, and there's been stuff like that going on for years. Amen. And people aren't turning to God. I'm not saying people aren't dying from it. People are dying from it. People were dying from polio when they had polio back in. People still do in third world countries. People die from cholera. Let me tell you something. That's not a hard thing to fix. If they really wanted to save people's lives, there would be no cholera. That's not a hard thing to fix. You get a couple plumbers and some toilet stools, they can fix that, amen? They don't care about you. God does. God does. Donald Trump didn't die for you. Joe Biden didn't die for you. Whatever this dude is running this, what's the governor here? Gwine, he didn't die for you. Jesus Christ died for you. The Prince of Peace. You see, we can have a peace that the world can't have because there's something on the inside, which is the Prince of Peace, that is not determined by what's going on the outside. It's determined by what you're putting inside. Amen. No matter what's going on the outside, you can still have peace. I'm saved. If I drop flat smack dead right now, I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. You're saved, right? I don't want to preach any of your funerals. I want you all to go. I want it all going to rapture. But if you're saved, you're saved. You're going to heaven whether I preach it or the Lord calls you out. Amen. You're saved. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He's the Prince of Peace. You're not going to get peace from Fauci. You're not going to get peace from CNN. You're not going to get peace from Fox News. You're going to get peace from your iPhone or your Android. You're not going to get peace from getting vaccinated or unvaccinated. You're going to get peace by trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Let's just keep it real because this is going to get crazier. This ride's going to be interesting over the next few years because they're not quite getting the control they want yet. That's what it's about. That's what it's always been about. It's always been about control. You go all the way back to the Old Testament, the battle's always been about control. I told you a couple weeks ago, vaccinated, unvaccinated, I'll sit down and eat with you. I don't care. I'm saved. I don't care. You make the decision God wants you to make, pray about it, praise God. But respect everybody else's decision. Because the devil wants to divide us. He does. He went, oh, he got the shot. I don't want to be around you. She didn't. I don't want to be around her. Well, praise God. You probably won't be around each other in heaven either. God will probably separate you. Amen. But the thing is, God wants us to be united in Christ, not divided. And the devil is a divider. He wants to divide God's people. He wants the world unified serving Him. But those folks that God calls out and saves, He wants them divided. And He's done a pretty good job of it. There are folks that won't even go back to church yet. There are churches all over the world. People are watching live stream, and everybody else is in church. Amen. Of course, those people, they had to go get their toilet paper when they were running out. I mean, they'll risk their lives for a roll of toilet paper. But church, I don't know, that's a dangerous place to be. I'll tell you what, it's a dangerous place not to be. Amen. Maybe you can go to church, God will bring you some toilet paper. I don't know. But people risk their lives for some crazy stuff. Oh, yeah. I mean, you the Super Bowl, I guarantee you, 2/3 of people, they'll go to, the saved folks, they'll probably go to a bar and watch the Super Bowl. But they won't go to church. They're finding their peace somewhere else, they think. This world can't give you any peace. Oh, they keep changing. They keep moving the goal line. Oh, the vaccine is 98% effective. Now it's 47% effective. You know, one part of the world, they got 75% of the people in the hospital had the vaccine. Another part, they got 65% of the people didn't have it in there. The truth is, you just got to trust God. I guarantee you. I'll tell you how smart man is and how wise man is and how much power man has when it comes to evil. Man can do evil to such an extent that no other man can do it, undo it, or protect you from it. Only God can. Hey, let me just give you some reality. They can get you at your house. You know how I know that? Because they were sending anthrax through the mail 20 years ago. You know? And there's going to be half and half. There'll be somebody that can send you an envelope that says the new vaccine information, and you'll be so excited to open it. You got the anthrax. And there'll be other people that throw it in the trash. I don't even want to hear it anymore. Amen. If they want you, they're going to get you. But Jesus Christ wants you. Has He got you? I'm not just talking about your soul. I'm talking about your life. Hey, look. This is going to get crazier. I'm concerned about what the devil's trying to do, but I'm excited about what God will do. Amen? I'm not careful to the point where I'm just going to vibrate. Hey, look, fear is a natural thing. It's a safety mechanism. But if you live in fear, you'll die a coward. Amen? I don't want to go out that way. Matter of fact, you know, they could say that the every virus has been cured. The only problem is now Christians, and we're going to shoot all the preachers. You're still going to find me here on Sunday morning. You might want to duck when the gunfire starts, but this is what God called us to do. Praise God. Respect each other's decisions and go on down the road, because the devil's trying to divide, and he's going to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. He knows his days are few. And he wants to make the most messes he can make while he's here, while he has that chance. And he knows the church is going to leave, and this is his last effort to mess with the bride of Christ. This is it. I'm not saying there won't be something else come down the pike, but I mean, this is his time. This is his time where he wants to shine. He wants to show his power of darkness. Peace. Look at 16 again. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. He gives you protection. You see those last two words? Forever. They were in a transition time. These folks had the Spirit on them. He said, you got the Spirit on you now, and I'm with you. He said, but I'm going to leave, and I'm going to send a Comforter back, and that Spirit's going to be in you forever. Does God lie? No. If you could lose your salvation, he'd say that, I'm going to send you that Spirit, and that Spirit, that comfort will be in you until you mess up. In you until I get the scales out and your bad outweighs your good. He doesn't say that. He says forever. He gives you protection forever. Look at 13 and 14, back way up to 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know what he's saying? It's about glorifying the Father, and it's about his name. God has given us some promises, some provisions, his presence. He offers us his peace, his protection, and we're supposed to give him the preeminence. He says, whatsoever you ask in my name, for the Father's glory, he deserves the preeminence. We get over here to chapter number 15. We'll look at verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. It's the produce of God. If you're trusting in his promises, trusting in his provision, walking in his presence, you'll have some of his peace. You've got his protection forever. You're saved eternally. You give him the preeminence and he'll produce fruit in your life, in this church. Well, he'll do that. He promises to do that if you'll just connect to him. Y'all got vacuum cleaners at home, right? You ever get up in the middle of the night and that thing's just taking off, going on its own? That thing's got to be plugged in. Amen. You got to plug it into the power source so it can do what it's supposed to do. And if we're not plugged into the power source of Jesus Christ and his words, you're not going to produce what he wants you to produce. But really, it's more about peace. If you're not trusting his promises, you're not trusting his provisions, you're not abiding in his presence, you won't have any peace and you won't produce any fruit. Say, well, I don't believe that. Well, believe it, because that's what the book says. He's the vine. And if he's not involved, you will not produce fruit. You just won't. I don't know about church. What are we going to do at church? If God shows up, he'll do what he does. If he doesn't show up, we're just playing church. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We got the New American, the NASV, the New American Socialist Version. People have read it, don't even realize they read it. Trust in the government with all your being. In all thy ways acknowledge Trump and Biden. And they will direct. No, that's hogwash. That book says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What should I do? What should I do? Pray to God, do what God wants you to do. If you feel he wants you to do, do it. And respect everybody else, what they do. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't be controlled by fear. We've talked about Pavlov's dogs before. Remember Pavlov's dog in psychology? They feed that dog and ring that bell. Feed that dog and ring that bell. Feed that dog and ring that bell. Next thing you know, they ring the bell and the dog's running in. He wants the food. He associates that. You know what they've done with us? And what they're trying to do with us? They want to put so much fear in you that you hear COVID-19, you'll do anything to save your skin. Because they've blown it out of proportion. I'm not saying it's not real. It does kill people. But they have rung that bell to the point where people quiver when they hear it. They don't even look at the facts anymore. And look, again, I don't care if you've been vaccinated or not. And some folks have to be vaccinated for their jobs. I understand that. That's crazy, but it's the way it is in this world. It ought to be your own personal choice. Your own doctor shouldn't even be making it for you. You should be making it with informed consent, praying about it. Amen. But the whole thing about if you're not vaccinated, you're killing people. Look what's happening with the people that are. Everybody's getting it. I know people that are vaccinated that have had it, and you do too. I know people that are unvaccinated that have had it. I know people that are unvaccinated that may or may not have had it, and nobody knew it. On both sides of that thing. I'm telling you, this is a tool of the devil. He's using that to divide God's people with fear. And the government wants to control you. They want to send you a little check once in a while so you could just sit at home and be comfortable and watch CNN and fill your head full of the garbage of this world. And the next thing you know, they'll ring that bell again and say, here's another hoop to jump through. And you jump through it because you're afraid. There's nothing wrong with fear once in a while and making rational and prayerful decisions. But if you let fear control you, you will die a coward. Amen. That's just the truth. I'm not trying to be mean. I don't want anybody shaking and shivering at the judgment seat of Christ going, I never realized. I like life. I love you all. I enjoy church. I don't want to die right now. I got people I want to see get saved. I got a son I want to see raised. I got kids, grandkids I want to see. But I'm not going to go hide in my closet and wait for the Grim Reaper to drag me out. You know, I see the fear on people's faces. I was out here on the sidewalk the other day with the signs and people driving by, and I've talked to people about the Lord for so many years now that I can almost tell what they're saying in their heart by their eyes. You can see it through their windshield. You know what I mean. You can almost, you got a list of responses. You can almost tell which one plugs into the eyes. And you can see some folks going, man, praise God. They're, you know, they'll get a thumbs up. You might get the bad finger, whatever. But you see other people, you see them like, indignant. You see the smirks and the smugness. People driving down their road in their $100,000 vehicle headed to their $500,000 house thinking, I'm all right because I got this and I got that. They're trusting in their car, their house, their bank account. They're going to split hell wide open. One of these days, they'll be reading their bank account. They'll be reading that statement, man, look at the interest I got this year. And the Grim Reaper will reach up there and grab them by the ankle and jerk them off into hell. Or they'll go on their $5,000 mattress and they'll lay down. They'll draw their last breath. He'll just snug right up next to him. Snug up next to him. And when that last breath comes, drag them off into hell. And they won't have a Hummer to drive out or a Bentley. They won't have a mansion. They'll be in eternal flames where the fire's never quenched and the worm dieth not, burning forever and ever and ever. The smoke of their torments go up forever. And then you got the other people that are afraid. Afraid of everything. One car come down the road, and I seen the older couple. The man, he just turns his head. And she looked like she's probably about 90 years old, and she's wearing a mask in the car, windows up, with only her husband, wearing a mask clear up here, because she's afraid. Probably lost. And if she's saved, she's not trusting God for anything. She won't even breathe in her own car. But she's looking at that sign, and I could see the fear in her eyes. I'm thinking, praise God, I'm glad she's seen that sign. Because you can see it. She should be afraid if she's lost. Amen. Not because of a virus, or having or not having a vaccine. She ought to be afraid because of the judgment of God's coming. Amen. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you ought to be scared to death because the judgment of God's coming. If you've trusted Christ, that judgment's already taken care of on Calvary. You can have peace. You can have peace. I know people don't have light. They do what they do in the darkness. But we've got light. And I like to see their eyes when that light shines on them. I want to see their hearts change. I talked to a girl over in Richmond yesterday. I started to hand her a tract. She said, I don't want that. I'm good. And I said, well, where do you go to church? She goes, I'm actually a pagan. And I just automatically laugh anymore. I pray for me, would you? Because I said, what does that even mean when you say that? And she says, I worship many gods. And I said, well, let me ask you this, and which one of your gods created all this? She said, well, I'm not sure about that. I'm going to have to study into that. I said, well, I know the God that created all this. Jesus Christ. She said, well, my Southern Baptist family. And she said it with hatred. And I said, look, your family might be goofy. I don't know. I said, man just messes everything up. But God loves you. And He died for you. And if you call on Jesus Christ, you'll go to heaven. If not, you'll burn in hell. She said, well, it's better than nothing. I said, no, it's not better than nothing, because you'll burn forever. Well, I just worship many gods. Well, they'll be with you in hell. Courtney's her name. Pray for Courtney. What a messed up world we live in. What a messed up world. Angry. Full of hate. Anger. Somebody done something to her, and she was a victim, and she'd rather go to hell and get saved because of it. Isn't that something? But it's just the truth. Her family might be goofy. Some of my family's goofy. I mean, I'm goofy. We're all goofy, amen? Some of her family might be wicked. I don't know. But don't blame it on God. Jesus Christ still loves her. He still died for her. He doesn't want her to go to hell. He doesn't want her to live in fear. He wants her to have peace. You can only have peace with God by trusting Jesus Christ. And you can only have the peace of God by walking with Him. I'll be glad when all this is over. I don't think this is ever going to be over until He calls us out of here. But I'll be glad when we start seeing some more people get saved. They're on our prayer list. And I'm glad that people will listen. That's a rare occasion that somebody says something like that. I'm a pagan or whatever. But they do. I asked the girl, so what's your name? She said, why? Because I'm going to tell God on you. No. I said, my name's David. I just want to pray for you. I don't want her to die and go to hell. What a sad state this place is in. We've got the God, the book, and every reason to have peace and be happy and joyful. They got nothing. And our job is to give them a chance at what we have by telling them about Jesus Christ. I don't care what they say. I don't know, even if I feel bad about laughing, because it is funny. People just come up with some goofy stuff. But I'm not laughing at her dying and going to hell. I'm laughing at some of the goofy responses. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die a coward. I'm going to trust God. Whatever you did, do or don't do, you prayed about it, you do what God wants you to do. I love you. I'm praying for you. I'll pray with you. But just respect everybody else's opinion, what they want, what they want to do. Maybe what's right for you to do is not right for somebody else to do as far as God's concerned. I don't know. But it's right to trust God. And it's right for a Christian to live in peace, with peace in his heart or her heart, because the Prince of Peace lives in your heart. And if he don't, he could before you leave here today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm not doubting anybody's salvation. I'm just saying you need to be sure. There should be a time when you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And if there is, you can have peace from the Prince of Peace.